Joining us now, though, we have Symetra Tour player Julia Boland. Julia, welcome into the golf shop.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So you're not having any fun in Boston at all, are you?
No, it's a terrible city. There's not much to do, I can tell you that. Now, we've had a fantastic time. I actually haven't spent as much time as I probably should at the golf course because I've been doing so much sightseeing, and I'm a big Red Sox fan, so I've been hanging out at Fenway, having a lot of fun.
Now you don't have a Boston accent. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, it's just, it doesn't quite, I mean, Mike and I are both from the Boston area. It just doesn't sound like an accent we're used to.
Yeah, she's not from Revere.
Yeah, so
I'm doing my best. I'm Australian, so I quite like the leaderboard at the PGA right now. But my sister was born in Boston, so there is a connection with my family here. So I've always been a Red Sox and Bruins fan.
Well, Julia, I mean, obviously, going to Thorny Lee up there in Brockton, and again, we're talking about ties after ties after ties. My great uncle used to be the teaching professional there. Mark won his first juniors tournament there. We love seeing the Symetra Tour land in the Boston area, and actually would love really to see a swing similar to the Carolina swing, get one in southern Maine, get one back in southern New Hampshire, and have one in Boston. It would be a great swing for you guys at this time of the season, a little bit cooler weather. It would be awesome. How has Thorny Lee treated you all?
Thorny Lee's fantastic. I mean, it's a beautiful old course. It's just one of those, classic golf courses. You know, dog legs, just slight dog legs, play away kind of course. You know, you need to be off the tee. Obviously, Donald Ross, it's all about the greens, right? He sort of tricks up his golf courses with the greens, and I think that's pretty much the case with Thorny Lee. You've got to leave yourself in a good position. You know, a 20-footer up the hill is probably easier than an 8-foot breaker. So all that sort of stuff is, you know, to me, traditional American golf. I'm a big fan of it. Big, you know, sweeping drives and stuff like that. So it's very enjoyable.
All right, so 1 under par yesterday. Looks like that you started out, made a couple early bogeys, and then finished strong in the back nine. What kind of turned it around for you? Did you make some putts, or was it something else going on?
Yeah, I made some putts. I think I didn't start, obviously, like the score didn't start well. I personally think I was too tired from all the tourist things that I've done. So I think the coffee sort of kicked in on about the fifth or sixth hole, and hopefully, you know, it sort of kept going from there. But I made some stupid errors really early on, misclubbed into a par three, left myself short with a tough up and down. And then I did the old leave it above the pin on the Donald Ross course a couple of holes later and three putted. So I wasn't really playing that badly. I had a couple of lip outs of birdie. It seems more like the back nine, you know, a couple of putts that could have lipped out went in, made a good couple of up and down saves. There's a couple of really cool holes out there, you know, sharp dog legs. I hit a cut. So sharp dog legs left, which are brutal for me. So I've got to sort of lay up and have a long club in. So I was able to sort of just save par on those holes and then maximize the shorter holes.
You know, that's one thing that we talk about. It sounds like, you know, we've had all this conversation. We hear about Tiger Woods and swing changes and everything. And it seems like that maybe Tiger should go to one shot. It's almost like he's still trying to hit all kinds of different shots. And when you're struggling, if you have the go-to shot, which it sounds like you have, you know, then you can kind of survive sometimes. So you have that go-to shot. It's a little bit of a cut. Even though you get up on a hole that's a dog leg left, you don't try and hook the ball because you're not comfortable hitting that shot. Do you feel like maybe more people should try and play that way sometimes, especially some of our listeners out there heading to the golf course?
Look, I think, I worked in a pro shop before I turned pro, and I think certainly like for the amateur golfer, if you can eliminate 50% of the golf course, 100% stand up on a tee, and even if it's an ugly cut, say, you know what, I know that I will not miss left. There is no way that water on the left is not in danger. I can aim straight at that hazard post and bring it back to the fairway. To me, that gives me so much more confidence than, you know, sometimes even when I played out on the LPGA for a couple of years, and at my best, I hit a draw, but I always knew with the draw, the miss with the draw is a hook, and that's a brutal miss, and that's kind of why I like the cut. It comes in soft. If I don't hit it well, it goes a little bit higher and a little bit shorter, but I know that I'm going to find the fairway. So I think everyone knows that, if you can find the fairway in greens, you can play all right. You can get it around, and it comes down to putting anyway.
Well, Julia, if you discover you're having trouble shaping your shots, and a lot of people can't shape them at all. The average golfer really can't predict what it's going to do. But if you're having trouble shaping your shots, what do you go back to sort of get yourself refocused and recentered? What do you have to do?
I'm a big fan of just going to the range instead of hitting like buckets of balls at a target. I'll just shape it. I'll, you know, say to a mate, okay, let's play for Starbucks. You know, let's hit 20 shots. You've got a, we'll alternate calling shots. So, hey, let's hit a low cut. Let's hit a big hook. Let's hit a high straight shot. So I just try to be creative and sort of in the same way that I fell in love with the game when I was 12 years old. I was just a girl. I grew up in the country. My dad used to hit shots in the front yard and my dad's 6'3". So I used to swing this huge golf club and just sort of like try to hit it. And it meant nothing to me. Like there wasn't any goal in terms of like a hole or anything like that, but it was just fun to hit it. So, and that's what I try to bring, to my game as a professional. Like, how can I have fun? And, you know, if I'm having a day when I'm not hitting it well, go, okay, you know what? I'm just going to choke down. It's really a day. Usually I'd hit 6-iron in here, but I'm going to hit 5-iron and I'm going to start it out on the left side of the green and just hit a big, ugly cut in there and just get the job done. And I just find that so much more creative rather than putting pressure on myself to go, you know what? I really, today I feel like hitting 6-iron here is probably a 2 out of 10 option. I'm going to go with the 7 out of 10, no one's going to clap this shot, but I'm going to get the job done.
Now, do you think that sort of growing up in the country, not as a quote-unquote country club kid taking lessons and junior golf and all that stuff, do you think that sort of a little bit like Bubba Watson, do you think that fostered that creativity in you because it was more about sort of hitting the ball and enjoying its ball flight and seeing what you can do as opposed to, you know, like you say, standing on the range for hours and hours and hours with an instructor?
I think that's true. Actually, I'm pretty good mates with Kari Webb, and I remember having a conversation a couple of years ago with her, and all the Australians on the LPGA are from the country and from really small clubs. Like, Kari's from a town that, honestly, it's so far in the middle of nowhere. It's basically the outback. And it's the same with all the other girls. And we honestly, that's what we think too. We were trying to decide, like, talk to each other, like, hey, why aren't the players from Sydney or why aren't they from Melbourne? And we were just saying, like, we had the opportunity as kids to just go out, have fun. There wasn't as many dress regulations. Our dads would maybe caddy or our mum would come out and caddy or we'd go play with our siblings. So we just had the opportunity to have fun and have creativity. I think that was the case. Like, I remember the course I grew up with, the sixth hole was what we called the dam hole because there was only one hole on the course that had water on it. And we used to just go take a bucket of balls and see if we could hit over the dam. So we were just having fun, seeing what we could do. And I think, to me, one of the biggest predictors, often parents, I coached at Texas A&M for a year, so parents often ask me, hey, what about college golf for my kid? Or what do you think about them turning professional? And to me, the biggest determinant isn't like how great do they swing it, how fantastic a putter are they, do they love the game, like what's their passion like for the game. And to me, the girls who succeed on tour are the girls who really love it. They just love to play. And I'm a big Jason Day fan. I grew up playing a bit of golf with him, and he does have a fantastic swing, but man, he just loves to play the game. He just always looks like he's having fun out there. And I remember as an amateur, that was the attitude he always had.
Again, we're speaking with Symetra Tour player Julia Boland, and you know, and I think that's one of the things too. When you talk about kids growing up, it seems like we fall into this pattern of we want them to sit there and pound range balls with a swing coach watching or a parent watching, and we're always just trying to hit it straight at the flag, hit it at the flag. You know, and I always go back to one of the things that Tiger Woods always talked about was hitting the 9 shots. You know, the high fade, what you talked about earlier, and if you sit there, yeah. You know what? You can sit there and hit a straight shot all day long, but then when you do hit that one tee shot that goes in the trees and now you got to hit a low 40-yard cut, can you do it? And if you don't have that shot in your repertoire, you're not going to get anywhere, are you?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's just so much more fun to be creative. I'm involved with the junior program down in Texas. I volunteer. And man, the kids just have so much fun. And to me, that's why they love the game. And that's why we're getting more and more kids in the game. And it's, I don't know, Laura Davies, I think, is one of probably the most creative women on the planet. And I've played with her and I've looked at shots she's hit. Honestly, I can't even see that that's an option. But she is the most creative person. And, you know, most people know she doesn't use a tee off for her driver. And that just came because her brother was caddying for her and he said, hey, you're not feeling very comfortable with your driver, but you hit it pretty good for your second shot on a par 5. Why don't you just do that? And she has always said that she never practices, but she'd go to the range with her brother and they'd just do the most ridiculous shots. So they'd say, like, let's start at this tree and see who can, let's see if we can get a right angle cut coming off that tree. Let's see if we can hit it over the clubhouse. and she still has that sort of, you know, warming up. She'll be on the range and she'll be hitting the poor guys who hitting the cart of the poor guys who are trying to pick up the range balls. She's just having fun. She's just being super creative and enjoying it.
Well, I think it speaks to your desire to have fun and your good attitude about the game that last night, after, you know, playing a good round, you did decide to go into Boston, check out the Sox, who you've liked your whole life. How was your experience at Fenway? I know you took the tour the previous day. I mean, this is someone with the right attitude. She's not out there hitting balls for 9 hours after a round. She's going to see the Sox.
You know what? It was like a bucket list thing for me. We had great seats. We were right behind home plate. And obviously they played some awesome baseball. It was the most exciting game of baseball I've ever seen. The atmosphere was awesome. We got to hang out early, have some food at the food trucks. I went with a couple of mates. We're all sitting around each other. And honestly, it's one of those, probably one of the best things I've ever done on tour. I just really enjoyed it. The atmosphere was just awesome. So many kids, so many families. I love that sort of vibe. For me, not growing up in America, obviously, I didn't grow up with a love of baseball. Like, we didn't go to baseball games. We went to cricket games. But there's something about baseball to me that I love. It's got this retro, I could have been sitting there 60 years ago. That was the feel to me, like the timber bats and just the vibe and the clothing. I just love the whole thing, and I think Fenway just captures that so well for me, and I loved it. It was fantastic.
All right, so heading out to play this afternoon, and one under par, four back. I'm going to throw this out there before we let you go. You know, we do an hour show for Greensboro on Thursday, and we had Annie Park on, and Annie shot 4 under yesterday. So there is a Golf Shop Radio bump. There's some mojo that you get being on the show. So definitely look forward to good things happening out in the golf course, and we look to see you climb up the leaderboard today.
Awesome. I look forward to it. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot.